Hello, and welcome to another edition of InfraLogic's Crossroads Podcast. I'm your host, Gene Gilligan, Senior Reporter at InfraLogic. My guest today is Harry Rajan, Managing Partner at Investcorp Corsair. Harry, welcome to the podcast. Glad you can join us.
Morning, Gene. It's great to be speaking with you.
Thank you so much. First of all, please give us some background on Investcorp Corsair.
Absolutely. Investcorp Corsair is a $5 billion infrastructure equity sponsor that is a partnership between two large private market asset management firms, Corsair Capital, based in New York, and Investcorp in the Middle East. We focus on the transportation and logistics sector, which I would define most simply as investing in assets that are critical to the safe and efficient movement of people and goods around the world. We invest across three broad categories that generally track the three key modes of transportation: air, sea, and surface. Our mandate is global, but we're probably best known here in the US for our investments in the airport space, in particular, our lead financial sponsorship and operational management of two high-profile and landmark airport privatization redevelopments, LaGuardia Terminal B and JFK Terminal 6, both here in New York.
Tell us about your background, if you would.
Sure. I've been in private markets investing for over 25 years. I started with Corsair and was a partner in our buyouts business focused on financial and business services. And then I helped set up our infrastructure business in 2015, which I have been leading since.
First question I have is, and we're certainly seeing a lot of headlines in various sectors and the economic outlook here. What is your macroeconomic outlook for the three sectors that you are invested in: airports, ports, logistics, and highways?
We believe that transportation and logistics broadly is a large investing universe that in the coming years will generate some of the most attractive risk-return propositions in the infrastructure space and perhaps across private markets more generally. The overarching macro theme and driving force behind that opportunity set is a significant under-allocation of capital to transportation and logistics over the past years and decades. And that's resulted in a multi-trillion dollar shortfall in funding for both new construction and the maintenance of existing but severely aging assets. Now, given fiscal pressures around the world, much of this capital will need to come from private sources in partnership with the public sector. And this is a condition that is most powerfully evident here in the US, where we are in the early stages of a much anticipated and truly historic program of refurbishing and revitalizing our domestic transportation networks. And that's where our business has established a market-leading position with some significant first-mover advantages.
Are there any trends out there that you're seeing that you believe could have a material impact on these sectors?
Sure. Our investment strategy in each of our verticals is distinctly in the value-add segment of the infrastructure investing spectrum. So what that means is that we don't invest in mature assets with business as usual operations, where transactions are really based predominantly on who has the lowest cost of capital. Rather, in all of our investments, we require there to be a significant component of sponsor-led value creation. So that could be a new construction project, a major CapEx program, a significant shift in pricing or revenue models, maybe the reworking of a long-term financing or capital structure. It could also include initiatives related to two key themes or trends in transport infrastructure that we're seeing today. First, automation and digitization, which is applying new technologies and processes to replace outdated manual forms of interaction between infrastructure assets and their users. And second, energy transition, which is upgrading heavy energy-consuming transport infrastructure to be more efficient, to leverage alternative energy sources, and generally contribute meaningfully to the decarbonization agenda.
Very good. We did speak about these trends when we spoke a while ago, and you're still seeing opportunities in these areas.
Absolutely.
Increasing, maybe even more so.
Increasing and intensifying.
And I know you're very invested in airport terminals, and as a New Yorker, I've seen the work going on at JFK, and very exciting. Looking forward to that opening. What amenities are kind of must-haves in the airport terminals of today? What are flyers and passengers looking for in these modernized terminals?
We believe that in order to be a successful long-term investor in the airport space, you absolutely need to be able to continually identify, design, develop, and implement new features and service offerings, right? And that requires a high level of operational skill and knowledge, as well as the ability to implement these changes in airport facilities that you are actually managing on a day-to-day basis and drive a vision for what airport infrastructure will look like in the future. And I appreciate your mentioning our work here in New York on both LaGuardia and JFK. We're really able to do this through our platform company Vantage Group, which is one of the key pillars of our investment franchise. You know, Vantage is a leading independent airport developer and operator with 25 years of experience across, you know, over 30 airports. We own 100% of Vantage, and it's our dedicated platform for airport-related investments. And it plays a critical role in evaluating projects from a deep operational perspective, which with much greater clarity and precision around key value creation levers. And that's the model that allowed us to win both LaGuardia and JFK, each of which is a $5 billion project in which we're the controlling shareholder with our platform company Vantage as the operator. Now, Vantage deploys significant time and resources into thinking about the future of airports and what types of services, amenities, and functions need to be developed. You know, there's some pretty interesting kind of futuristic stuff like supersonic travel, which is a current theme that we're monitoring. But in terms of where the greatest focus is right now, it's really thinking about how to enhance the customer experience as a passenger travels through an airport terminal from the curb to the jet bridge and vice versa on arrival through processes like check-in, security screening, the food, beverage, and retail areas. So all kind of how do we use new technologies and product offerings to make that just a better experience for the ultimate constituent, which is the traveling public? And it's really hard to invest in those themes if you're not the incumbent operator of a sufficiently large network of airports in which to trial and test these things out. And that's exactly the type of competitive advantage that we get through Vantage and that we're applying in all of our airport work, which of course includes JFK and LaGuardia, as we talked about, very high profile and very visible, particularly here in our New York community. But we also do a lot on the commercial retail side in places like Kansas City and Chicago Midway.
What are even smaller airports? Do you see opportunities there, you know, even in smaller cities?
We do. The underinvestment in airport infrastructure in the U.S. is across the board. It's certainly most perceptible and severe in our very large kind of gateway and hub airports, which is where a lot of this work is starting. But I think increasingly local communities will recognize that improving the quality of their offerings related to transport infrastructure and particularly air travel is an absolute imperative and can be accomplished through partnership with the private sector.
And also, you are very invested in the port and logistics sector. So we've been hearing certainly a lot about tariffs and that are maybe upcoming and already been instituted by the U.S. and, you know, other countries that are kind of retaliating. Any thoughts on what effect these tariffs might have on ports and logistics?
We're obviously in a very fast-moving environment as it relates to U.S. tariff policy. In fact, I think we're recording this probably just a few hours before we're going to get a major announcement from
yes,
the administration. So
indeed.
Clearly we are taking and will be taking a cautious approach as it relates to infrastructure assets whose revenues are directly correlated to cross-border trade between the United States and its trading partners around the world. That said, a very large portion of our investment opportunity set in the U.S. relates to assets that support domestic passenger travel and domestic movement of goods. You know, the need to refurbish and revitalize our domestic transportation networks and the severe underinvestment they have experienced over the past years and decades, and the need for private capital to play a major role in that, that's not something that's going to change as a result of tariff policy. So our strategy in that regard remains very much intact, and the opportunity set remains very much in place. Now, outside of the United States, you know, we are invested and will continue to invest in assets that support trade between countries and regions. For example, our Australian ports, which are origin and destination facilities for the import of containerized goods from Asia, that type of trade may well intensify as a result of U.S. tariff policy. And, you know, we could certainly be the beneficiaries of that.
Very interesting. So it might be win-lose and win-win in some situations, right? Yeah, yeah. Are there any sectors or geographies that InvestCorp Corsair is planning to target for acquisitions?
Yeah, Gene, you know, I mentioned that our investment activity tracks the three key modes of transportation: air, sea, and surface. To provide a bit more detail on that, air transport infrastructure centers, of course, around passenger and cargo airports and airport terminals, but it also includes a full range of businesses that provide essential products and services to the complex airport ecosystem, from baggage handling to off-airport parking to various types of in-airport commercial and retail offerings. Seaborne infrastructure comprises all of the assets that make up the shipping supply chain, and that's anchored certainly by container ports and other types of port terminals that we talked about. But it also includes various land-side logistics, warehousing, and transport operations that contribute to the movement of seaborne cargo from supplier to ultimate owner. And then finally, on the surface transport side, that includes everything you would imagine: roads, bridges, tunnels, but also everything rail-related, from tracks and switching equipment to rail stations, as well as ancillary services and functions like roadside EV charging, service stations, and transponder and tolling technology. With respect to rail specifically, that's a significant opportunity in the United States, with massive amounts of deferred maintenance and unrealized opportunities, including in areas like high-speed rail. And we've already made significant headway in that space through our Vantage platform, where we have branched beyond airports and operate the concession program at 30th Street Rail Station in Philadelphia in partnership with Amtrak. So it's really a combination of investing in large-scale facilities that define these transport ecosystems, as well as investments in smaller companies that service those ecosystems with unique products.
Very good. There's certainly a lot to be watching in the transport sector and logistics sector as we move forward in the next year or so, and I will certainly be watching. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us on Crossroads, and we appreciate your time.
Great to speak with you. Thank you for your interest, and again, appreciate all your really excellent coverage of our space.
Thank you for joining us on another edition of Crossroads Podcast. I'm Gene Gilligan.